What is happening? This, that, and those listeners. Now, let me first off start by saying I'm sorry for only one episode last week. And it might only be one episode this week just because I have my EMT test again on Thursday. And I'm going to be pretty anxious about it. I did actually just order some CBD oil, though, which I am excited about, and I'm not going to tell you where it's from yet, because I want to try it, and then if I like it, I'll tell you the company and everything, I'll tell you how much and everything it was, but I'm not just going to go out there and give somebody free promotion if I don't like it. So I'm going to get it in, I'll try it out, let you know, and we'll go from there. But this podcast, you know, it's brought to you by our Patreon page. It's patreon.com/andthos. Patreon.com/andthos, A-N-D-T-H-O-Z, all one word. The podcast is free. If you feel like going and giving us something, do it. That money is going to be saved up for a camera so that we could get this thing on YouTube streaming. Because right now it's just the audio, and I mean it's convenient if you only have YouTube to listen to it. But it's not ideal because it's just a sound bar, it looks like. And I'm not a fan of it. I don't know if you guys are. I actually don't even look at it. But, yeah, we're trying to bring it to video. So, patreon.com/andthos, patreon.com/andthos, A-N-D-T-H-O-Z. What's going on, people? I apologize if it sounds like I just woke up, because I literally just did. I woke up, I grabbed my mic, the laptop, my phone, made a cup of coffee, and here we are. Let it be known, by the way, Keurigs, while for convenience sake, are incredible, the price per cup for how much you're getting, you know, I talked about this with my Uncle Steve. We talked about Keurigs versus like going to a coffee shop before. Keurig, if you're getting good coffee, it's probably a little bit over 50 cents a cup. But the amount of coffee you get realistically from a Keurig is dog shit. And the quality, also not very good. Let's just be honest. But when you use the Cash App, like, and you get that cash card, you save a dollar. I post it all the time, and I don't know why anybody, like, I don't know why no one signs up using my code, because while it is, like, helping me, it's also helping you, because you get five free dollars, and so do I. We both win. There's no losing here. And if you drink coffee like a madman like I do, you save a dollar every single time you go to Starbucks, Dunkin', any coffee, any like big name coffee shop. I don't know if it works at little coffee shops. I should try it and let you guys know. But so like if you get, for example, I get like a medium. I get the grande with like a little bit of almond milk and Splenda. It's $2.25. I get it for $1.25. Every single time I go to Starbucks. It's a no-brainer. No-brainer. So by that, I'm basically paying the same that I would for the cup that size of a Keurig, but it's actual Starbucks. Now, In his defense, I'm pretty sure his apartment has, like, a fucking Starbucks in it where he just gets free Starbucks, which, by the way, is such bullshit because I would save maybe $30 a month, which, I mean, that adds up over the year. That's such bullshit, by the way, Steve. If you're still getting free Starbucks at your apartment, I just want you to know that I'm envious of you. I'm envious of that. And I don't think that that's fair. Okay? Now, boy, oh boy, did we have quite the sports weekend, my friends. The NBA playoffs started. And I'm going to be honest, I'm not going to watch this first round. I don't care that much. Especially when the Cavs aren't in it, it's so hard to, like, get into it, you know? But, I mean, the point is that they started. UFC 236, however, may have been one of the best all-around cards I've seen in a while. I know, I think I just said this about one of the past UFC, maybe one of the last, like, five or six I said it, but this one, good googly moogly. If I were to rate this one out of 10, like how the One Bite fucking Barstool guy does it for pizza, I'll do that for UFCs from now on that I watch. This UFC 236 was a solid 8.6. If we're going all around. Now, the first fight, OSP and Nikita Krylov. I wasn't invested in that fight. Nikita won that. I think it was in the second round by submission. Right? Or did it go to the distance? I don't know. I wasn't super into that. Now, Alan Joban and Dwight Grant. Total strikes. Let me pull it up real quick, because they were, like, laughing about it after the fight. Hold on. My point is that I fell asleep. I actually fell asleep during that fight. Okay, total strikes. Alan Joban, 25. Dwight Grant, 39. In 15 minutes, that's what happened. I get it, though. You get in there, and sometimes your game plan changes. It's not these guys' fault, but it was a fucking snooze fest. And so I'm going to be honest with you guys. I was going to do a podcast beforehand. I'm going to try to get, like, Alexa or somebody that, you know, knows fighting. It didn't happen. So I'm going to give you guys, like, my honest opinions of what I thought was going to happen and then what actually happened. With Eric Anders and Khalil Roundtree, those guys, I like both of them. They're both up and coming, right? I like both of those fighters. I thought Anders was going to fight. I picked Anders just for the sake of, you know, I just like him a little bit. So if you guys hear a dog in the background, you know how I said that I really needed a break from dogs? Yeah, it couldn't be more true right now. This dog will not leave me alone. But, yeah, I picked Anders, and Jesus. Khalil Roundtree has been in Thailand learning the ways of the Thai. And Jesus, did he look good. I mean, dude, when he came out and he was just so light on that front foot, I'm like, oh no, this could be bad. Within the first round, Anders' leg was purple. Dude, he destroyed that front leg of Anders. And Anders had, he couldn't, there was nothing he could do. You could see it in that fight that there was absolutely nothing, nothing that he could have done. That was it. I've never seen somebody get shut down like that. I don't know what the fuck this dog does. I thought, though, that in the second round, when that second round ended, I thought that Anders' coaches should have protected himself from himself and said, no, this isn't, we can't do this. But Anders is a fucking warrior. He came back out at the end of the fight, but good God, did Roundtree look good. Khalil Roundtree Jr. might be, I don't know, man. The fucking guy is real good. He is so good. And so, I mean, at 205, dude, Sophia, what are you doing, dude? You're embarrassing us all. Yeah, I don't know. I can't wait to see what else happens for him. But that fight, I don't think anybody thought Roundtree would win like that, besides his team and, you know, him. But, so if you tell me that you think, oh yeah, I knew he was going to do that, no, you're full of shit. I thought Anders was going to win. I was wrong. I picked him actually just because I like him a little bit. You know, but I mean, Roundtree, good on the mic, good after, just destroyed that fight, completely one-sided fight. Oh boy, I apologize for fucking yawning so much, guys. Yeah, whatever. It happens, right? Now, the Gaslam and Stylebender fight. I thought that this was going to be, I really did. I thought this was going to be a tough fight for Stylebender. I thought it was going to be tougher than most people thought it would be. I don't know what the odds were. I couldn't see people giving Kelvin very good odds. I think Stylebender, I'm reading the notes I had, but I thought Stylebender was going to win, but I thought it was going to be a very good fight, and it fucking delivered. You know, I just thought, like, Stylebender is one of those guys. He's one of those, like, main guys of the future at this point. And I mean, I get that Kelvin had much better resume, like, much better, but he just has, like, such insane power. And apparently a fucking chin that, I mean, he could have definitely won that fight. If a few more things went his way, he definitely could have won that fight. But, I mean, Stylebender with the chin on him, too. You know, I thought that if Kelvin hit him, it was going to be big, big trouble. Big trouble in Little China. But it wasn't. I mean, there was a couple times where it was. But, I mean, he didn't go down. He didn't. I just thought, you know, if somebody was going to get knocked out in that fight, it was going to be from Kelvin knocking out Stylebender. I didn't think Stylebender was going to knock him out. I thought Stylebender was going to light him up like a fucking Christmas tree. I thought he was going to light him up a little bit more. But could you imagine if Stylebender would have knocked him out? How, I just said he's one of those guys that are like rising to the top. He would have been at the top if he would have knocked him out by some chance. But if he would have knocked him out, it would have been, oh fuck, here he is. But I'm... kind of glad he didn't knock him out just because I want to see him fight more. Just for the sake of how he looked against Gaslam. But, yeah. That fight, that was... There are so many good fights. I think... Oh, god damn, guys, I'm sorry. I think Roundtree was, like, the MVP. I don't know, man. There's so many guys. Every winner of those last three fights could have been the MVP of the night. So, let's go to the main event real quick. Max Holloway, Dustin Poirier. That fight was labeled as a rematch, but let's be honest. We all know that that was not a rematch. Those guys fought when they were just coming into the UFC, and they've come so far that to say, like, Holloway, Poirier 2 is, it's dumb. I get it, but, like, it's not a rematch. And like I said, that happened when they were just coming in. I think it was Max Holloway's like first or second fight, and it was short notice, I'm pretty sure. They were both just so young, and they're so different now that I don't consider that a rematch. I'm just saying it's not like Conor Nate 2, where they actually ran it back. Whatever, though. Now, I don't know where to start on this. Because, like, I thought that Holloway's confidence and everything about him right now, you know, it was so high. But it was also, when I look back at it, the same with Dustin. I think Dustin won like 5 of his last 6 fights. And Holloway, we know he's been on a fucking terror. They're 2 awesome fighters, and I was going to be upset with whoever lost. You know, that's just how it was. I love both those guys. I was going to be upset for whoever lost, and I was going to be happy for whoever won. And for the sake of Holloway being the champ at 145 or whatever, I was picking him to win. Just off that alone. God, fuck, I'm sorry, I'm yawning. But, look, those are 2 awesome fighters, and to be honest, once they came out and were in the ring and you could see the size difference, just, you could tell the most in their back and their arms, that Dustin looked, I want to say 30 pounds heavier than Max. Max lit Dustin up. Let's not pretend like Max was not getting in shots. He was getting in shots. They just weren't doing anything. And then that fucking knee in the 4th round? My goodness. The one that split Max's face from the middle of his forehead to right above his nose? God. Jenna and I were watching that fight, and every time Max was basically breathing, when he exhaled, blood was coming up, like shooting. And look, man, I love the UFC. I don't love watching that. That's just like, that's a lot of violence. And you might call me like a bitch for it or whatever, but I don't want to see guys that I like losing a pint of blood in a fight. That was, that one was rough to watch. That fifth round, particularly, not so much. I mean, because it happened, like, almost at the end of the fourth round, but I don't know. It was rough. And, but like I said, I thought I was going to be more upset if Max lost and Dustin won than if Dustin, or if Dustin lost and Max won. But Dustin, dude, he deserved that big time. And I'm real happy for him. And, you know, Max, do your thing at 145. Keep running that division. I like how at the end of the match, Rogan interviewed him, and he basically said he'll still fight anyone. He said if my best friend DC wants it, I'll jump up to 225 or whatever. That was cool. But yeah, you know, I picked Max just because he was the champ already, but that was the only reason I picked him. It basically, toss a coin. That's who it could have been. Until they walk out and you see that Dustin's 30 pounds. Just, he was so big. I couldn't believe how big he looked. I think 155 is going to treat him good. Now, pause. I think the winner of that fight, I think that sets them up for a fight with Khabib. Which is a nightmare for both of those guys. Anyway, so, Dustin, I mean, good luck, right? I want him to win. I'm not a big Khabib fan. I don't know what it, he's just not like, the shit happened with Conor where he fucking jumped out of the ring like a psycho. And, sorry, I was taking a sip of coffee. I'm trying to wake the fuck up. So like the shit happened with Conor. He's too like serious about it. I mean, I get it. That's how you become an amazing champion, but we want like, I mean, me personally, I like the entertainment as much as I like the fighting. I get that there's purists that are like Khabib. He is what the sport is about, whatever. But, because I mean, he's about family, religion, being a champion. But, you know, sometimes you got a John Jones, take some PEDs, you know. Sometimes you got to blow a little coke, bang a couple strippers. Be like Conor McGregor, John Jones. They're the biggest guys in the sport. Coincidence? I think not. Look at Stipe. Firefighter. Amazing guy. Great champion. All around awesome dude. Drinks at local bars. People just don't like him because he's too good of a guy. I think, you know what though? With Stipe, I think that's the UFC's fault for not doing more for him. Like, do, like, some type of all-access thing. Show everybody that he... I mean, people know that he's a firefighter. Like, but I don't know. I don't know if other fans know that. I'm actually curious about that. And I've asked that on another podcast before. Where I didn't know if that was, like, a well-known thing. Or if that's, like, a Cleveland thing that we know that he... He is a firefighter and a great dude, and you know, but yeah, I don't know, man. I just think the UFC could have done a much better job with Stipe. I think he got kind of like the raw end of the deal and not enough. I mean, he went on Rogan and I think that helped a little bit. Dude, going on, I know I'm such a Rogan dick rider or whatever you want to say, but like when guys get on his podcast, like fighters, Or I mean, we'll just stick with fighting. When fighters get on his podcast and he gets to have a 2 or 3 hour conversation with them and you get to know them, it makes me like those guys much more. I've tried doing it. Look, I've tried having fighters on here, bigger name fighters. I won't say their name, but most of them just flake. Okay? They'll say, yeah, I'm all about it. DM me. I DM them. We go back and forth. And it just doesn't happen. Which is very... I'm not going to lie. It's so frustrating. It is so frustrating when I plan my day around having a conversation with somebody. And they don't... They just can't have a conversation with me. I'm not making money off this. So when people do that... It makes me think that people think they're better than me or better than the people listening to my podcast in particular, because I don't really care if a famous person thinks they're better than me, but when that's how I think of it is that, like, and I'm not bullshitting you. When somebody flakes on my podcast, I look at it as they don't think my audience is as important as if they were to do it themselves. And I think that's really fucked up. Because I did work hard for this. And our numbers are still growing, guys. I say it all the time, but it makes me so fucking happy that people want to listen to me talk. And I love it. But back to 236. That was the first fight on the new ESPN Plus deal, I think, the first pay-per-view, which I streamed. But it was very intriguing, you know, because you know that they're going to come out and say it's the biggest pay-per-view since Conor Nate or whatever, because no one's going to know the way that this one's set up. They have the early prelims on Fight Pass. Is it safe to say that that's done now? Fucking Fight Pass. UFC cannot expect their fans to pay for ESPN Plus, pay-per-views every month through ESPN Plus, which, by the way, I've heard was a nightmare to figure it out how to do that. And also pay for that bullshit Fight Pass. Fight Pass is the dumbest thing in sports right now. Actually, I'm going to get to the dumbest thing in sports. But Fight Pass is fucking stupid. It's dumb, man. No one. The only thing it has going for it is that you could go back and watch old fights. Which, if you're a MMA purist, you know, do it right now. Because I don't think it's going to be around. I'd say it's safe to say that ESPN, or the Fight Pass will be gone within the next year. I'm guessing less. But I'm going to say, I would give it a year. But I'm going to say probably 6 months if I were to put money on it. But even like the old fight thing, I'm sure you could stream those somewhere. I'm sure most of them are on YouTube. But I don't know. I can't see Fight Pass staying around much longer. Oh, boy. Did we talk enough about UFC? Yes? No? Probably not. I wanted to talk about this bare-knuckle fucking... This bare-knuckle fighting. Have you guys seen this? It's like bare-knuckle fighting and... I saw a video, I forget, it was on Instagram, it was one of those like minute clips of the president from this company was in the ring promoting the fight, you know, he's like, hey, how's everybody doing tonight? And then he continues after a fight went on, he gets in the ring and he goes, yeah, because that guy wasn't fighting the way that we liked, we're taking half his purse and giving it to the other fighter. How you guys like that? That's how it happens, you know? You're like, that's how it happens when you don't fight the way we want you to fight. Hey, man. I don't think that's legal. They took half this guy's money and gave it to the other guy because he didn't fight the fight that they wanted him to fight. I just said this about Grant and fucking... What's his face? Joban. Sometimes you get into a fight and your style changes. If that guy's not doing what you thought he was going to do, it's going to fuck your game plan up. That's how fighting works. For you to have the audacity to say this guy wasn't fighting the way you wanted him to fight, and you're going to take half of his money and give it to the other guy, you get in the ring, you fucking slob. Are you kidding me? The reason that this is like a big thing, it's like Paulie Malignaggi, right? And Artem Lobov? I don't know how to say these guys' fucking names. They're boxers. I don't care. They were fighting, and I wanted it to see. I wanted to see this fight until I heard the president of this company say this at that fight, that they were going to give half this guy's money to the other guy because he was fighting better. That's so fucking dumb. And the other thing that's so ridiculous about this, this bare knuckle fighting thing is just starting up, and it costs $20 to watch the fight. They want $19.99 to stream this. That's the worst business model ever. Could you imagine if the UFC, when it very first started, was charging $30 for the pay-per-view, for the UFC 1 and 2, or $20 a fight, whatever the fuck you want to say? Could you imagine? Oh, it actually says, okay. Oh. It says the promoter backed off after threatening about purses. Hey, no shit, right? I don't even know if that's legal. I guess that's better. But I'm still not paying $20 for it. And you know how people always say, like, oh, bare knuckle fighting's better than the pads. I don't know, man. In the long run, yes. For their health. It just, it's hard to get, I mean, to get a family to buy a UFC event, that's one thing, right? But to get a family to buy a bare knuckle fighting event, it just seems so, brutal. Now, their target has to be like guys in their 20 or 18 to like, let's say 35 range. Because I can't see anybody else buying these fights. Especially for $20. If I want to see bare knuckle fighting, I'll go on to fucking WorldStar and I'll watch fights for free. They might even use like a table ladder chair match. Wow, I couldn't say that one, huh? I might be able to find real pro wrestling where guys are actually getting fucked up. Did you guys actually see the Bret Hart thing? He got, that old man was getting inducted into the Hall of Fame or some shit, and some dude fucking tackled him. How people watch WWE still, I don't get it. I get it, because it's like a soap opera for dudes, and like you don't feel bad if you're a guy watching it, but you still like soap operas. But, look, dude, I follow a lot of people on Twitter, and the hate I see for UFC, but like support I see for the WWE, is so fucking stupid that I will never understand it. Hey, do you, on a funnier note, do you think the pro wrestlers get pissed off when they lose their fight? Do you think, what was the last one where it was like an all chicks? It was like a Royal Rumble or some shit, but with all chicks. And do you think Ronda Rousey, after her fight, she went home like, God damn it. You think she was like, do you think Ronda Rousey was as upset after losing a WWE match as she was when she got head kicked by Holly Holm? Yo, that would be like WWE fighter getting pissed off for losing a fight would be like the same as if Leonardo DiCaprio, when he was in The Wolf of Wall Street, was went home and was like, son of a bitch, they caught me at the end. Fuck. Just pissed off that he got busted, like, after reading the script and everything. I don't know, man. Doesn't make sense. I have some of my best friends watch WWE, and I still don't understand it. Maybe if I watched it with them, I would get it, but I'm not gonna. I remember listening to it was like one of those Cleveland radio stations, and this dude, Casey Kulis, he was so balls deep into WWE, and anytime that they would bring up a UFC fight, he would be like, those guys are all on steroids. Hey, do you know what sport you're watching? Do you know the one that you're actually watching? The fake one? Where the guys get in leather boots, get real sweaty, and pretend to hurt each other? Put some respect on the UFC, you fuck. Oh my goodness. Look, I watch Housewives. I watch all that Bravo shit. So I get it. I watch girly shit too. But don't come at me for watching that. Don't come at me for watching Twilight. Don't come at me for enjoying the audiobooks of Twilight. If you're watching WWE, period. One of these is a grown man with steroids. The other one are grown women with Botox and rich husbands. Same, same. I still can't believe they're charging people for that bare knuckle shit. Even shitty supplement companies like that Vemaverb, Herbalife, you name it, dude. You name the fucking tea things that all those girls post on their fucking stories. Come try. Be one of my candidates. Those stupid sweat belts. Even those shitty companies will let you try their shitty products first before charging you fucking $75 a month for 4 belts or 10 shakes. Such a scam. Dude, those pyramid schemes, I'm so glad I never got caught up in one of those. I almost did, too. I almost got fucking caught up in that Herbalife bullshit. When I had buddies talking to me about it, and I was like, oh, you know what? This could work. Holy shit. Those things are so dumb. But my point is that even those shitty companies will let you try their shitty products first before they charge you. This bare knuckle fighting, whatever, is charging people $20 for their first fight. It's such a bad business model. Sorry, I couldn't get over that. It's just ridiculous. Whatever. The fuck else did I want to talk about? Oh, speaking of, I was just talking about steroids. Dude, how crazy is the TJ Dillashaw shit? Busted for EPO? They said, Garbrandt for sure shut your mouth because he would have beat you anyway. But Garbrandt was saying it way before that that TJ was on EPO. And the thing about EPO, and also for his team and his managers not taking accountability for this or knowing about it, is so full of shit. And it's so disgusting that these guys aren't taking any responsibility for it. That it really is upsetting when you actually look into what EPO is. That the fact that he's saying this is all on me is so ridiculous. When it comes to PEDs, okay, performance-enhancing drugs, when it comes to these, you don't start at EPO. EPO is the black belt of PEDs. It thickens your blood, okay? So, like, you have to be on top of this shit. You have to have a team around you monitoring you constantly. Remember, Lance Armstrong said he would have to wake up at like 3 in the morning and start riding his bike because he would feel his blood getting thick. If your blood gets too thick, you're dead, okay? He'd have to wake up at like 3 in the morning because he said he felt it getting thicker, okay? EPO is not harmless. It would be like, let's say testosterone. Taking testosterone, or taking a pre-workout is if I was to hand you like a joint. Okay? EPO would be like if I handed you a heroin needle and was like, here you go. You don't start there. EPO is like the heroin of PEDs. That shit is serious. So for his team and the managers to say that they had no idea, my God. Now, on that same note, I think I should get second chances. I think the 2-year suspension for this is ridiculous. And I understand that like the UFC has to make it so that the punishment is not worth the risk. So it's like, all right, if you get busted, you're done. But I don't know. He's got to be in his 30s. 2 years is big for a guy in his 30s. That's rough. I want to say he's like 33 or 34. Coming back at 35, 36. I don't know, man. I mean, I guess the good news is Cody. Cody, the belt's yours for the taking, bud. But, man, that's a tough one. Because, obviously, I don't want guys cheating. But the 2-year suspension is rough. It really is. To end this actually on a positive note, so I don't watch golf. I don't watch golf because the only guy that I really follow is Tiger. Okay, Tiger's the fun guy to follow in golf. So when the Masters comes, I'll usually pay attention to the first day. If Tiger's in the running, I'll watch the second day, third day, fourth, whatever. So after the first day, Tiger was, you know, he was in the running. So I started watching it somewhat expecting by Saturday for him to be out of the mix. But we know Tiger was right there. Okay, he was, what, 2 strokes behind? And yesterday, I was glued to the Masters. And like I said, I don't watch golf, so I don't understand why I got so happy that Tiger won. But I was ecstatic about Tiger winning. That made my whole day a little bit better, just having Tiger win. I think it, part of it is because I think the last major he won was like the year of or after when his dad died, and you know, they had such a tight bond. Then, you know, like the cheating thing, the back issue. There's that one shot of him after he hit the ball, and it just brought him down to his knees because his back was so fucked up. And God, I'm getting goosebumps talking about it. And going from that, and I think it was like 10 or 11 years since he won a master or a major. And then for him to win yesterday, it's just, oh man, it's great. He tweeted after, you know, "Can't thank my family, friends, and fans enough for their support. Having my family by my side today is something I will never forget. To not only be able to play again, but to be able to win again, something I will forever be grateful for. This jacket sure is comfortable." And this, one of the comments, because this is something that I was thinking about a lot yesterday, which I think plays into why I was so happy for him. The guy said, "Your comeback is such a testament for anyone who has stumbled in life." That's so true, and why I think I was so happy for him. Because everybody's had a time in their life when they thought that it was over. Not over, but like the goodness in their life was over. And I might be exaggerating for this, because at the end of the day, he has money. He has everything he needs. But, I mean, a golfer loves to golf. A baseball player loves to play baseball. So for him to win, man, it's just so cool. I was so happy for him. And, No. It was just an awesome thing, seeing how fired up he was. Now, if he's back or not, I don't know. We'll see. But, yeah, I'm just... It was an awesome day yesterday for sports. It was an awesome weekend for sports. Saturday, that UFC fight was incredible. And the golf really topped it off. God, is fucking Augusta beautiful or what? That place, Jesus. I posted this poll, like, if you could get tickets to one of these, what would you get? I put the Masters, your team's World Series, your team NBA Finals, or the College Football Championship. Obviously, the College Football Championship was, it'd be your team. I think, and I picked these because the Super Bowl doesn't interest me, because it's basically just rich dudes that don't care about football that go there, you know, because the tickets, I mean, they're not hard to get, but it's just such an event that it doesn't interest me. Kentucky Derby, eh, maybe top six, just because I think it would be cool to go. What do we have? Indy 500. I think anybody can basically get tickets to that, so not interested. I know I'm leaving some out that you guys are going to be pissed about, but I don't care. I want to talk about these four. So I picked College Football Championship just because if it was Ohio State for me, the tailgate beforehand and the experience of the game, the fans there are fans of the sport. It's not like big wigs or whatever. So I think that would be an incredible atmosphere. Your team NBA Finals. I only know this. I haven't been to an NBA Finals game, but I was downtown for every Cavs Finals through like 2017. And the atmosphere was just, oh man, I'll never forget that. Just how, like, the city was so electric and everybody was just having a good time that I loved it. The same year, obviously, we've had been blessed with the Indians going to the World Series. Same thing, you know, when we're standing outside of that stadium and you could just, the city just feels different that I couldn't even imagine what it would have been like inside the stadiums. And then I put the Masters on here because I found this out yesterday that the Masters, the tickets to all 4 days is like $375, which is ridiculously reasonable, but you can't get tickets to it. They release like a certain amount of tickets and you can't get tickets to it. And so like for me, these four, it would probably be the Masters because of the exclusivity of it. Then it would be probably the college football championship. Then the World Series, then the Finals, just because we had the Finals. If we didn't have the Finals, I would have put the Finals at number two. But, yeah, I would have, like, so the percentage of these was, Masters was in last place. I don't know if people just don't care about golf or if they didn't know about, like, how hard it is to get the tickets. But that was 4% of the votes. College football was 15% of the votes. NBA Finals, 50%. And the World Series was 31%. So for you guys, it was Finals, World Series, college football, Masters. For me, it was that in reverse, basically. Actually, exactly that in reverse. But yeah, I don't know. I thought that was a fun thing to do. I was so happy for him that he won that fight. But yeah, man, that's all we got today. Oh shit. I'm still fucking tired. I have to work today. I have to study today. So I said, I'm going to try to do another podcast this week. I really will. It might be Thursday night or Wednesday out on there. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Thank you guys for listening. Yeah, I mean, until next time, guys. Peace. I'm in love with better.
thoughts come up, but there's nowhere to run, I feel surrounded.